I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'd like to set it in its context as well, so we'll look at the earlier chapters just briefly and hear what God has to say to us this morning from His Word. It's special for me to administer baptism. Lee was a guest in our home with a number of other students that came over at the invitation of our daughter Tina. And Jenny is a daughter of the Inwood CRC, where I served when I moved to Iowa. I served there for 9 years. So special to see her and Lee together and their young family. It's a real blessing. Appreciate that. Some great stories about Jenny and about her mom and about her dad. And it's probably safest to tell the one about her dad. So when I preached in Inwood, I'd take my watch off and I'd set it on the pulpit right here. And we had a dinner together. Jim and Deb were youth leaders with us. And somehow Jim got a hold of the mic. I don't know how that happened. And he said, "What's it mean when Pastor Dave puts his watch on the pulpit?" And that's kind of what the response was. And then Jim said, "Absolutely nothing." I don't know why you're laughing. We have sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and I'm preaching today. And I don't even wear a watch anymore. So, great memories. And this is another special memory, and I appreciate that privilege. We're going to set this passage in its context. Let's ask God to bless us as we open His Word. Father God, we thank You that You in Your providence have recorded for us Your Word, that it has been written down and that it's been translated into the language we understand, that we can read it and study it and look at it and hear You speak to us. We ask that Your Spirit would be here, that we would hear You speak this morning, that we would apply it to our lives and live it out. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have the gospel that Matthew recorded for us. And he begins with the genealogy of Jesus in chapter 1. And then the birth of Jesus, chapter 2. We have the visit of the Magi, the escape to Egypt, and the return to Nazareth. And then John the Baptist preparing the way in chapter 3. At the end of that, we have the baptism of Jesus. We heard a bit about that in the song this morning. When Jesus was baptized, He came up out of the water. The heavens were open. The Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And the voice said, "This is My Son, whom I love." Right? Isaiah foretold that. Isaiah said, "Oh, that You would rend the heavens and come down." And we see that here at the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus is identified here at this place as the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. And then immediately we have the temptation of Jesus. And He is successful in the face of those temptations. And then in the middle of chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, Jesus begins to preach. And just looking at verse 17, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" I don't have time to lay that out with you this morning, but what does it mean that the kingdom of heaven is near? It means the rightful king has come to reclaim His kingdom. Satan is not in control. Jesus is. Even though it doesn't look like it, Jesus is in the process of making all things right, of restoring righteousness and justice, making things the way they ought to be. And then we read in verse 23, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." In the next few chapters, through chapter 9, Jesus is teaching and preaching, giving evidence that He is the Messiah, the promised one. And so we begin with chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Right? The Beatitudes, salt and light, fulfillment of the law, murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, an eye for an eye, love for enemies, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting. These are all topics that Jesus is teaching on. treasures in heaven. Do not worry, judging others. Ask, seek, and knock. And then we come to the conclusion of his teaching with the passage I'm going to read. The narrow and the wide gates, a tree and its fruit, the wise and the foolish builders. And then with chapter 8, we transition into Jesus giving evidence by the miracles that he is the Messiah. The man with leprosy, the faith of the centurion, Jesus heals many, the cost of following Jesus, Jesus calms the storm, the healing of the two demon-possessed men, Jesus heals a paralytic, the calling of Matthew, Jesus questioned about fasting, a dead girl and a sick woman. The workers are few. There under that heading, verse 35, Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. We just heard that verse earlier. Those are kind of like brackets. It's within this passage that Matthew is giving evidence of who Jesus is, particularly by his teaching and his miracles. And so I'd like to look with you this morning at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount by reading verses 13 through 29. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Congregation gathered together with God. I just this past year accepted the position of advancement coordinator at Inspiration Hills. I was the executive director of a nonprofit in Sioux City called STEM. And in July, my wife and I made a transition. We moved up to Sioux Falls. And as we were looking at houses, the house that we decided we thought we would like to buy, our realtor said, you know, you could move the washer and dryer from the basement to the upper level where the bedrooms are. And that seemed like a really good idea to me. That's where our clothes are. It'd be convenient for my wife to do the laundry. She does that for me. And we have a master bathroom with a single sink, and we thought if we did that remodeling, we could have a double sink in there and just make it kind of nice. And so we had inspections scheduled, and I invited a friend from Orange City and a friend from Rock Valley who have experience in remodeling and plumbing and electricity, and invited them to come up, and they said, yeah, you could do that, and we would be willing to help you with that. And so we bought the house, and we took possession the end of July, and I started tearing down the drywall and tearing out some studs, and I recognized rather quickly, I failed to ask, how long will this take, and how much will this cost? Those would have been two very good questions. We lived for a month in a travel trailer at Inspiration Hills, and then we transitioned to a cabin for the next 6 weeks. It was the middle of October before we moved into our house, before it was at that point. So it took a bit longer than either of us anticipated, but we're very pleased with how it turned out. I tell you that to illustrate my first point. And my first point is that we shape our lives based on the narratives and ideas that we believe. You know, I had a couple of friends that came up and said, you could do that, and we'll help, but you could do that. And other people in my history have said that to me, you can do that kind of thing. So I believe that, and we tore into it. Now, granted, I didn't know how long it would take or how much it would cost, but we did it, and we're very pleased with how it turned out. On the flip side, you'll not hear me sing a solo, ever, if I can help it. I had a good friend who was the choir director at the church I served as youth pastor in Michigan. We were going to go out with the young people at Christmas time to sing carols in the nursing home, and he said to the group, some of you have beautiful voices. You need to make sure to sing out loud, to bless the people with the song, to be up toward the front of the door. Others of you should smile. Pastor Dave, you should smile. See, I've heard that word too, and I believe that word. So I always check with the sound people. You will mute me during songs, right? It will not be a blessing if you hear me sing, apparently. I think I sing great, kind of, but I know better. We structure our lives based on the narratives and ideas we believe. That's what Jesus is pointing to in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Conversely, those who hear these words of mine and do not put them into practice are like the foolish man who built his house on sand. Jesus uses that concept of building a house to illustrate his point of building a life. If you build your life on the rock, on Jesus Christ, on that solid foundation, it will not fall flat. But building your life on that rock means hearing the words of Jesus and putting them into practice. Now, there are some people who have a hard time hearing the words of Jesus. At Inspiration Hills, we have what we call Journey Camp during the summer. And we intentionally invite and look for at-risk children to come to that camp. Children who have made bad decisions in school. Children who are in difficult life circumstances, whose families, parents may be divorced, who may be in the foster care system, whose parents or parent may be incarcerated. Those are the kinds of kids that we intentionally invite to come to Journey Camp. Many of them have a hard time hearing the words of Jesus because the words of other people ring so loud in their ears. They hear they're not loved. They're not cared about. They're not wanted in so many different ways. During that week there at camp, we intentionally try to tell them that they are loved, that they are wanted, and that they're cared for by their God and their Savior, Jesus. We work to do that. Maybe you're somewhat like those children. You hear the voices of others ringing in your ears so loud that you have a hard time hearing the voice of Jesus. But Jesus is speaking to you. Maybe that's not it at all. Maybe you're distracted by the voices of our culture. The narratives of our culture find expression in a number of different positive and negative ways. See if you can finish the following statement. I know we're not in a practice in our denomination of dialogue back and forth. So if you're not comfortable, see if you can say it to yourself. If you are comfortable, I invite you to say it out loud. See if you can finish these statements. I'll pause and then I'll say it. Look out for number one. All is fair in
love.
Love and war. No good deed goes
unpunished.
Rules are made to be
broken.
Nice guys finish
last.
Right? Apparently you're familiar with these sayings. These are the sayings of our culture. They tell us how our culture thinks. And if you think about these sayings, they're in contrast to what Jesus says. Right? No good deed goes unpunished. Do you believe that? Jesus tells us to do our good deeds so that our Father in heaven is glorified. Which voice do you hear? What shapes your life? Satan tries to deceive us and mislead us and to keep us from hearing the words of Jesus. And when we listen to him, we experience a bad and ugly life. In contrast to that, Jesus came to give us life, to help us know the good and beautiful life. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And that kind of life comes from knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. Knowing him as Savior means recognizing that he's died on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins. And we receive that by faith. Knowing him as Lord means we listen to what he says and we shape our lives accordingly. We put it into practice. The good and beautiful life is created by doing the things Jesus commanded, not as rules, not as laws, but as a new way of living. It's about believing the teachings of Jesus and living it out. Jesus is not demanding we live his way in order to get to heaven when we die. Jesus is simply telling us the truth about reality. If you want to live an abundant life, if you want to experience life the way God created it to be, then you need to know this. This is the word from the one who created us, who formed us and fashioned us. And this is how we need to strive to live. Following Jesus, living that way, is an exciting adventure that is neither simple nor easy. Don't misunderstand me this morning. Living in the midst of a fallen world, living according to Jesus' teaching, is not easy or simple. It's challenging. But those who follow the teachings of Jesus can expect to experience the highest form of pleasure, to laugh with depth, and to enjoy all the goodness life has to offer. The old devotional writers understood that. When they wrote and used the term happiness, they were not talking about a temporary condition based on a set of circumstances. They were focused on the good and virtuous life. So when the founding fathers of our nation declared, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," we should not think, as so many in our culture today seem to think, that it means we each have an individual right to a certain set of circumstances that provide an emotion of happiness to us. They were saying we have the right to pursue a good and virtuous life, to hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice. Jesus defines what that good and virtuous life looks like. And we cannot find happiness or joy apart from obedience to the teaching of Jesus. The third point this morning, obedience to the teachings of Jesus bring us joy and happiness. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing." Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Hearing the words and putting them into practice is what enables us to experience the good and virtuous life. And the good news is that though we may not have followed his teaching before, we may not have put it into practice before, we can begin anew. We can begin afresh. This morning we come to the table of the Lord to celebrate the bread and the juice, to remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We take to ourselves Jesus through faith. And Jesus reminds us that he paid the price to forgive our sins. Jesus reminds us in his word that he sends his Spirit to empower us to begin to live like him, to hear his teachings, and to put them into practice. The question we face is, what kind of life builder are we? What are we building our lives on? Where is our focus? What narratives and ideas are we believing that give shape to our lives? Let's pray together. Father God, once more we come before you and we praise you for your love and your grace, for the opportunity to come to your house to hear your word and to receive your sacrament. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would receive our love, and that you would mold and shape us according to your word and spirit, that our lives might reflect the teachings of Jesus, and that we might know the abundant life that you came to give us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In response, I invite you to stand and sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be."